I turn to God's Word in the passage that we read earlier in the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. And I want us to focus our thoughts around the words of verse 13. Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It is that over the past week, as I've been considering the previous Lord's days, I've come to call the morning sermons the COVID-19 series. And again, it is therefore that this a text that we're considering this morning, I think it is most appropriate for us as we find ourselves where we are this moment because of COVID-19. And Paul writes, I can do all things through him, or if you've got perhaps another version at the ESV, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to begin by asking, what would you consider to be the most frightening letter in the English alphabet? It may seem a strange question. Maybe it is that you immediately reply, well, I don't think of any letters that are frightening, but I can think of some words that are made up of letters out of the English alphabet that I find frightening. Think of it in terms of your health. All of us dread to hear, concerning ourselves or loved ones, the word cancer and what it is that it points to and will mean for the individual who has succumbed to cancer. We can think in terms even of COVID-19 and how this phrase and the words and the numbers that make it up again brings a sense of anxiety and even despair in the lives of many. What about in terms of employment? Perhaps the letters that make up the words, a redundancy or fired, it is again that for many individuals, these words can bring a sense of fear and discomfort to them. But it is that I want to try and answer the question that I began with, what would you consider to be the most frightening individual letter of the English alphabet? And I would suggest that in many ways the letter I is a frightening letter. And the reason that I say this is because the letter I signifies oneness, it signifies aloneness, isolation and separateness. It's personal, it's just for us. And that in itself makes it difficult and perhaps frightening for us because we like crowds. One of the things that people are discovering as they've been in lockdown is the importance of social gathering, whether it be in the church, whether it be in home, in our workplace, whatever it may be. Part of the way that we're wired and made in God's image, it is that we like to congregate one with another. And then there's another aspect in which it is that the letter I think, can be frightening for us. I denotes responsibility. It is that the buck stops with you as an individual in many cases. I is not a we proposition whereby you can hide, perhaps as it were, and blend into the woodwork of the crowd that you belong to. And as an I proposition, it is that we're reminded of some important matters concerning our spiritual walk and our spiritual lives. It is that using the letter I, we're reminded that we're individually responsible to God for our works. That it is that God has given to us as individuals a certain gifts and abilities, and it is that we are called to use these gifts and abilities for ourselves, but also for the advancement of his kingdom. And it is, therefore, that we can so often blame the church, our pastor, our wives, or our family, or our jobs, or our station in life. And yet very often what it is that when we do that and respond in such a way, we're putting aside the fact that in many circumstances it's the I, it's the one who we are as individuals that in many cases causes the problem. But none of these things account for the I in our accomplishments. Yet as you come to Paul's letter to the Philippians, one of the things that strikes you out of many is that Paul didn't seem to be afraid to use the letter I. Now that's significant because remember where it is that he's to be found when he writes this letter. He's found in a Roman prison cell. He's certainly attached to at least one Roman guard, if not two. And every moment that the door opens, he's facing imminent the imminency of being executed. And yet, look at how it is that he writes. There's plenty of time and opportunity for oneness, aloneness, for isolation and separateness. Yet it is that Paul says I and says it in a positive way. In chapter 4 of Philippians, Paul uses the letter I at least 17 times. In verse 2, he uses it twice. He uses it in verse 3 of chapter 4, verse 4, verse 10, and verse 11, he uses it three times. In verse 12, he uses it three times. In verse 4:13, we find our text that he's using it. Verse 15, in verse 17, he uses it two times. In verse 18, two times. And at this point in his letter, in this last chapter, it is that this one classic word, in a sense, it's a word of comfort as far as Paul is concerned. And it is that he's wanting to present to us something of the relationship between himself and his Lord in the midst of these difficulties. And yet the way in which it is, as an individual, as an I, it is that he's known of God's blessing. Think of what he writes in verse 11 of chapter 4. I have learned in whatsoever state I am in therein to be content. Verse 13, our text, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it is that in various places in the chapter, he's reminding us again of the importance of our relationship with God, but also the encouragement that should be ours in that ongoing relationship with God. And I think immediately in terms of application, we have to ask ourselves, how is our life as individuals, far less as congregations, being changed as we have come under the power of this truth, that we are able to do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us? Think about contentment for a minute. It is, as I've said, it was something that the apostle himself had to learn. And it is that when you're learning to be content, you don't do it and learn it completely in deprived circumstances, or indeed circumstances that seem to be easy. There has to be a serious exposure to both. I think that had been Paul's experience. There was a time in Paul's life when he'd been the golden boy of the Pharisees, and it is that no doubt he was invited to every home for a feast, and it was something of a boast of people to be able to say that on the Sabbath, that the one they had dining with them was none other than the young rabbi, Saul of Tarsus. But then it is there was another extreme in Paul's life, when because of his faith in Christ and his proclamation of the gospel, we know that children would throw stones at him, that men would set their dogs on him, women no doubt spat at him, and he was stoned and left for dead. And it is that Paul knew both of these extremes, and yet now it is that he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, whether it's something that seems so positive or something that to the world seems so negative, it is that my contentment doesn't come from arrogance of poverty. It doesn't come from the ease of wealth, but it comes from the fact that I've realized that everything I am, everything I'm ever going to be, that it comes from God himself. And that's then why he writes in verse 13, I can do all things, I can do everything through him, through Christ, who gives me strength, who strengthens me. Now it is, as we stop for a moment and time's rushing on, it's a tremendous statement, and one that I think that we should meditate on often in a day, but certainly within a week that God gives to us. Because the promise that is built into this statement is almost breathtaking. It is that God has gathered us here today in Christ's name, and it is that he's saying to us through his word, yes, you where you are, in your own room, in your own land, in the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of difficulties of health, whether they be mental or physical, whatever your circumstances may be, God is saying to you today that you can do all things through him who gives you strength, even in the midst of lockdown. And what it's a reminder of is that at the end of this meeting, and when it is that the streaming of this service stops, we are meant to come to the end of this time with these words edifying us and these words encouraging us and filling us with hope and confidence for the week that lies ahead, that we might be able to say, yes, I can cope. Yes, I can get by. Yes, I can be more than a conqueror of my weakness and sadness and frustration. And yes, I can triumph even in the midst of the lockdown and whatever else, it becomes part and parcel of it. And if it is at the end of this sermon, I've not, as it were, proclaimed this hope, and perhaps hopefully excited you of the hope that can be yours, then there's a very real sense in which I have failed. So let's then take this verse and see what we can learn from it and apply to ourselves. First heading I would have this morning is the heading, basically the word extent. Paul reminds us here in verse 13 of chapter 4 of the extent of what it is that he's proclaiming. And that extent is summed up in the phrase, I can do all things. That's the extent, that's how extensive the nature of what it is that Paul is saying is able to be part of the Christian's experience. He's saying to us, you can do all of God's will that God has for you. Now, when it is that he says, I can do all things, he's not talking about frivolous things. He's not talking about being a Superman who can say up, up and away and start to fly off into the atmosphere. He's not talking about the things of the world. He's not saying to us that he can demonstrate to us the possibility of perpetual motion or things like that. That's not what it is that he's calling on us to claim and to know as our own experience. One writer I was reading for this week put it like this, and I quote, the verse should not be deployed by well-meaning but ill-informed church leaders who are trying to manipulate church members into doing something they really don't think they should do. But, Mrs. Jones, you can't say no to our invitation to teach 10-year-old boys just because you've never taught a Sunday school class before, or just because you feel you have no gifts or calling or interest in this area. After all, Paul teaches that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Now, that's a horrible application, and indeed, an application that I don't think that the verse itself is able to bear. You see, Paul couldn't do everything that he wanted. Think on it. He couldn't release himself from prison. He couldn't strike the chains from off his wrists and his ankles, as the angel had done so in terms of the Apostle Peter when Peter was in prison. Paul couldn't even remove a little thorn from his own flesh when God had inserted it. He couldn't say, as we saw in, I think, the first sermon, where Christ is in the midst of the storm and he says to the wind and the waves, peace be still. It wasn't something that Paul was able to do. He couldn't do it in the midst of the Mediterranean and he ended up in shipwreck. He couldn't make Euodia or Syntyche, these women that we read of in verse 2 of chapter 4, and it's obvious there was tension and difficulties between these two individuals, and Paul couldn't make them fall in love with one another all over again. He couldn't strike dumb the mouths of the Galatian heretics who were seeking to destroy the churches in Galatia. He couldn't cure Timothy's stomach ailment. And he couldn't make the Roman trial end with a verdict or with no verdict at all. But look at the context. It is that Paul's talking about times of plenty and times of need, being well fed and also hungry, living in abundance and living in want. And Paul is saying, I can be content in the circumstances and in the unfolding of God's providence for me. And on that basis, I won't be bitter or angry with God. He's saying that everything that God assigns to me, I am able to respond to it in a way that brings honor and glory to God. And he's saying, it doesn't matter what it means for me in the way in which it is that God seeks to advance the glory of the gospel. But Paul is saying to us, I've learned the secret of facing plenty or hunger, abundance or want. And because of that, I can do all things in him or through him or through Christ who strengthens me. So what's the application for us? Well, it's this. Paul said he was able to live in contentment as a child of God. Are you able to say that today? Paul said that he was able to live in peace and fellowship with God and carrying out God's purposes for his life, even though it is to the world these purposes may have seemed totally strange. Paul is saying that in whatever circumstances in which it had pleased God to place him, whatever temptations came from that, whatever trials, whatever pressures, physically, mentally, psychologically, whatever afflictions or prosperity or success, or even all the temptations that surrounded him, even as he's now found in the midst of no doubt a damp prison cell, chained to a Roman centurion's, it is that Paul is saying that through Christ, and through Christ alone, I am able to carry out the purposes of God and live as his son in and through them all. That's what he's saying. And that's the challenge to us, and yet I think also the encouragement for us as we continue in the midst of this COVID-19 situation. Now, we're able to take what Paul says here in verse 13, I can do all things, and I think the extent of it, that we're able to spread it out a bit further to embrace all of what characterizes our lives and everything that God will require of us in this scene of time. You see, what it's saying is this: I can love God with all my heart, my neighbor as myself. I maybe don't do it perfectly, but with the earnest endeavor of a new man or woman or boy or girl in Jesus Christ. I can do it. I can forgive those who sin against me. I can do all things. I can forgive those who sin against me. I can turn the other cheek. I can love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I can obey my parents. I can obey and I can esteem other Christians better people than I am. I can shoulder the burdens that God has placed on my shoulders. I can pray without ceasing. I can become mighty in the scriptures. I can be filled with the Spirit. I can present my body a living sacrifice to God. I can put on the whole armor of God. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Indeed, everything that God asks of me that's contained within his word, I as I am able to do. Why? Because it is he who gives me strength. Is that not magnificent? Is that not something that on the one hand humbles us and yet fills us with a sense of joy? Of what it is that we are able to do. You see, sometimes it is that we're tempted to look at the pressures that we're under. We consider the mountains that God asks us to climb. And it is that we end up saying to ourselves, how can I possibly cope? How can I remain in this situation and survive? Because the truth is, you say to yourself, I can't manage it. I'm going to end up sinking down. And then when you read these words and start to apply them to yourself, the Spirit through the Word is moving you to say, well, yes, I can cope. Yes, I can live like that. Yes, I can be more than a conqueror. And these words aren't just for the super Christians amongst us, if you would call it that. For the heroes of the faith, as we would call them, to a minority of God's people. But these words are for all of God's people at all times. Paul is reminding us here of what you as an individual child of God are able to do. And so it's something that at this time we need to encourage ourselves in. You see, Paul could have complained, Lord, I've served you for these past years. I've been persecuted. I've got the mark of the whip upon my back. I've got this thorn in the flesh. I find myself under threat of execution every day. Where is the tranquility and the peace that I'd hoped for and looked for? But that's not what Paul did. Paul says, I'm rejoicing because I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that's the first thing then, extent. Second thing that I think that we find in verse 13 of chapter 4 is encounter. An encounter. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, as we would seek and to know of the extent of this promise of being able to do God's all will for us, the encounter that so often faces us and we have to ask ourselves is, well, why is that so often not my experience? Paul says I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Why is it often in my encounter with these things, it's the exact opposite? And I think there are a few things that we can say. First is this. and trying to answer the question, what are the reasons for why it is that we find it so difficult to be able to say, I can do all things, and we limp and stagger through the Christian life? First thing is, we underestimate the power of remaining sin. We underestimate the power of remaining sin. Paul knew himself knew he was under our obligation to be content in every situation and to delight in God's will. And yet, he tells us elsewhere that at times he failed. Listen to those words in Romans 7 from verse 18. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. He says, that's the law. That's the experience of every blood-bought child of God. We have been redeemed, we are saved for eternity. Yet it is, there is still this remnant of sin within us. And Paul's saying, the failure in my life that I experienced that moved me to say, oh, what a wretched individual I am, is because of the remnant of sin that he knew of. And that's a picture of the Christian life in a sense. Christ is in control of our lives, and we believe that and we rejoice in that. But at the same time, and it's a law, evil is present with us and it fights against Christ. It's saying to us, never underestimate the fact that the hatred that put the Son of God in the cross, the hatred that stoned Stephen to life, that it's something that can erupt in an instant in your own experience. And when it is that you fail to mortify sin, we were thinking at the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening of what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3. And it is that Paul literally says there, murder sin. There's to be murder in the church. And it's to be the murder of sin. And it's saying to us, never ignore the realities of this remnant. Another reason why it is that we so often fail is that we fail in the little duties of the Christian life. Not just underestimating the remaining power of sin and the power of remaining sin, but the little things, little foxes that start to destroy the vines in the vineyards. The little things, peccadillos of one sort or another, that we think are of no consequence in our lives. And it is the little things that we're called to do, and we think, well, for me as a Christian, that's fine for other Christians, but not for me. What did Jesus say? Whoever gives a cup of cold water in my name, that's the one who's blessed. How many people this week, unseen by the world, but seen by God, have given cups of cold water in various forms? And it is that they have known of God's blessing. And it is that we ourselves have thought it's in the big things that we can experience blessing. Maybe the reason that you're not able to know the power of what Paul is saying here is because you're failing in the little things. You see, it's not an option to put the little things aside. What about writing a letter or an email, say to your parents or your grandparents, a little thing, but how much it can mean to an individual? What about that person that you've wronged and it's been burdening your heart and mind, and yet to go and apologize them and to take those little words and to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. What about bowing to God in thanksgiving for all the ways that he has richly blessed you? Just to take a moment, even in a day, to stop where you are and to bow your head and to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Something so small and insignificant that no one sees except God. And perhaps if you don't know this, that's why Philippians 4 and 13 seems so alien and strange to you. See, often it is that we think that God's will is something that's mysterious and remote, and again, that's something only the mature believer really has any access to. That's not the case. Our main problem at times isn't so much the problem of guidance, but it's the problem that we know what God wants us to do and where he wants us to go, and often in the little things, and yet we ignore these things. And then, again, I think one of the reasons that we don't know what Paul is saying here is because we don't look to Jesus Christ for fellowship. That's why it is that we find it difficult to do all things. You see, if this Sunday is the only time in the week when you're listening to the gospel, when you're reading the Bible, when it is that you're having even fellowship in your own home with other Christians, I'm telling you now, you're in dreadful danger. For it is that each one of us knows the profound effect association with people, for good or bad, can have upon us. If it is that you're not listening to Christians, if it is that you're not reading God's word, if it is that you're not seeking God in prayer, then you're not growing as a Christian. I was reading about a notable American author, and his name was Gamaliel Bradford. Gamaliel Bradford. And it seems Gamaliel Bradford, from what I was reading, that he wrote some biographies. And one of the biographies he wrote was with regard to the agnostic and the wit, Mark Twain. And it seems that the biography on Mark Twain required a lot of study. I mean, some of the things that Mark Twain said, they're actually things that really stand out and I think are applicable. There's one that he's written, I've never forgotten. He said that when he said I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to be with the old man. Then when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. And all of us who are men, we can think back to when we were younger. And at times we thought our fathers knew nothing, and then it is that we discovered how much they knew. But listen to what Gamaliel Bradford said about the time he spent with Mark Twain in terms of studying him. He says, I lived with Mark Twain for many years, and it made me a worse man. I lived with this agnostic, even I lived with his wit, but it made me a worse man. And you have to ask yourself then, I think, today, who are you living with in terms of what you read, in terms of what you view in the internet, in terms of what it is that takes up your times of relaxation, in terms of magazines or whatever it is that you're reading? Are you reading that which is unto edification? Are you reading that which you would happily have someone of that ilk, someone of that like beside you and with you? Or what is it that you're encountering? Are you encountering things that end up having you to say today, I don't know the truth of the power of this verse, of being able to do all things through him who strengthens me? So Paul here speaks about extent. He speaks about encounter. And then thirdly and finally, he speaks about endowment. Endowment. How is it that you can do all things? You can do all things through the strength-giving Lord, because it is this Lord who gives you strength. And that's been a constant theme throughout Paul's letter to the Philippians. Verse 6 of chapter 1, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Verse 10 of chapter 3, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And here in our text this morning in Philippians 4:13, there is this consciousness of the mighty working in his life of the strength-giving God. And it's something that's found throughout Paul's writings. Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And if you are a believer in Christ today, If you're saying that Jesus Christ is your Savior or your Lord and your friend, then you should also be able to say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. One writer put it like this. Here was a man, and he's speaking about Paul. Here was a man who believed that while he was going about the streets of Rome, traversing the mountains as a missionary pilgrim, while he was in prison facing a death sentence, he was constantly aware that what he did through the strength of Christ. That it was God, the eternal, the everlasting, the almighty God who was empowering him. Now, there's more I could say, but the time has gone, and because of our power cut this morning. But let me challenge you, as I challenge myself, by asking, do you know of this power of the eternal, the everlasting, the almighty God empowering you? If you're a believer, it has to be. For it is this God who saw you dead in trespasses and sins. You were a spiritual corpse. And it was this God who spoke to you in a powerful way and enabled you to rise from the dead spiritually and to be born from above. And it is this God who, as Paul says, who began a good work in you, that even in spite of your faults and failings, he will bring it on to the day of completion. And he will so bring it on, and this is our hope this morning, that one day, whether it be now because of COVID-19, whether it be in decades ahead because of ill health or accident or whatever it may be, that there will be that moment for each one of us who has been raised to new life in Jesus Christ, when we will stand before Christ and Christ will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Not because of what we were able to do in and of ourselves, but because we were able to do all things through him, through Christ, who strengthened us. What a hope and a comfort is ours today. And I hope that this week and in the weeks to come, you might take time daily and often in a week to say and to challenge yourself, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, it is that we have to confess that often we fail you in so many ways. It is that we are like the apostle and we come to the place where we say, wretched person that I am. But we thank you that the gospel is a gospel of mercy and grace. And we thank you that you remember that we are dust, that you are frame. You well know it, for you are our creator and our God. We would pray for any who are with us online today and who are finding life and their life very difficult for them at the moment. Perhaps they are lonely. Perhaps it is that they have not been able to meet with people face to face for many weeks now. Perhaps it is that they are frightened even in their own homes, wondering what may happen to them once they venture outside. And we pray, Father, that you would bless such as these today and speak to them from your word and give to them the hope that they can do all things through Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that all of us without exception, whether we have long or short in this world left to live, that we might face these days in the power of your strength and your resurrection. Go with us now and forgive sin in Jesus' name. Amen.